www.ciwcertified.com.
Drop by the HFCC Counseling Office or log on to the web at hfcc.edu.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
Hello, this is Mark Anthony, host of the Flash Drive Jazz Show every Monday night at midnight on 89.3 WHFR.FM. Please join me for the Jazz Heritage Series 2010 radio broadcast on Monday, May 24th and Monday, May 31st at midnight on the Flash Drive Jazz Show, featuring the United States Air Force Band, the Airmen of Note, special performances by the New York Voices, Joey DeFrancesco, and Gary Smallion, hosted by Dick Golden. That's the Jazz Heritage Series 2010 radio broadcast on Monday, May 24th and Monday, May 31st at midnight on the Flash Drive Jazz Show. My name is Mark Anthony. Hope to see you then, right here on 89.3 WHFR.FM.
If you want to hear everything that rocks, then you need to tune into Noise Pollution every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., where you will hear everything from rock music to indie to local bands to metal to blues and even a little bit of rockabilly just to spice things up. And the only place to hear that is on the only station that's making waves, WHFR Dearborn.
Close your eyes in Chicago, and you can hear the sound of zebra braying in Africa. Look hard out your window in D.C., and you can see the snow-covered peaks of the Andes. The world is that small. We are that connected. Please visit Earthshare.org and learn how the world's leading environmental groups are working together. Earthshare. One environment. One simple way to care for it all. A public service message from Earthshare and the Ad Council.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford Community College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone, where local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. Hi, I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.FM is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomena. Now, those of our listeners who know anything about the topic of UFOs will be quite familiar with today's guest, Mr. Jaime Musan. Mr. Musan is an award-winning journalist and investigative reporter in Mexico, hosting the television show The Third Millennium, and is the director of Mexico's version of 60 Minutes. He has been called the Dan Rather of Mexico. He is internationally known as one of the most respected investigators in the UFO field. He has compiled over 5,000 videos and photographs of anomalous objects and has presented this information in presentations around the world. And he has been interviewed on countless radio and TV shows and documentaries. And we are very fortunate to have him with us on the line today from Mexico. Welcome to the show, Jaime Musan.
Yeah, nice to talk to you.
It's very good to talk to you. I met Jaime in the Laughlin, Nevada recently, and wanted to do a show for the TV version, but it was too late in the day.
We met in Laughlin, and I hope you liked the presentation we had. We presented the last evidence that we have been able to investigate in Mexico. I hope people in the United States understand that we have created a team of scientists and reporters and journalists who are now investigating very seriously this phenomenon, and we have a television show now here in Mexico, 1 hour every Sunday night. Then we are on national level, and thanks to that, we are now presenting the last information every week of what is happening, not just in Mexico, but around the world.
Right. Now, is this the third millennium show that we're talking about?
It's the third millennium show, yes.
Right, right. And is it strictly on the UFO subject, or is it mainstream
news?
No,
it's a third millennium program. We present mostly UFOs, because in Mexico has become very important. We have sightings very often.
Right.
But also, we are very interested in the global change, in the climate change. We are interested in earthquakes and volcanoes and natural phenomena.
Right.
We believe that's very important. Also, the environment for us is very important, what is happening to the earth, especially the extinction of animals and plants. That's one of our main subjects also.
Okay. Now, do you feel that this is natural happenings, or do you feel that there's been human intervention is one of the main causes of climate change?
You mean regarding the UFO phenomenon?
No, I'm talking about the climate change and...
It's both.
It's both.
We have been investigating the sun, and the sun has is responsible for the global warming, too.
All
the sun has presented a very strong activity since 1956 until 2006. Then from 2006, the end of 2006, until the beginning of 2010, we had a very weak, very low activity of the sun. And that's why we believe you had a very strong winter, a mini ice age winter in the North Hemisphere, not just in the United States and parts of Canada, but also in Europe, in Asia, and other places that register the worst cold that you have seen in probably 100 years.
Right.
And this is related to the low activity of the sun in the last 3 years. We believe there is a relation because we have been investigating the minimum of Maunder from 1645 to 1715 when we had very strong winters all that time. The weather around the world was cold.
Right.
Not too much rain, droughts, but a lot of cold. Unfortunately, I don't know, the sun started to present a big activity since the
more activity
of January. We think that this is going to change again what we were expecting for the very near future. And probably we could see what was predicted long ago, that the next maximum, the 24 maximum, solar maximum in 2011 and especially 2012, is going to be really strong if this continues as it is right now, David.
Okay, so it's going to be very hot here on the Earth, eh?
It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot, and if we have strong eruptions from the sun, probably we will see something similar of what we saw in 2005, when we have the worst hurricane season probably ever, or since we have registers.
Right.
We remember Katrina, we remember Wilma, and another very strong hurricanes, Rita, in 2005. There were 30 hurricanes and tropical storms.
Mm-hmm.
And this could happen again if we continue this year as as we started. Then let's see what is going to happen, because the sun is unpredictable.
Right. Yes, it is. And now tell me, Ms. Masson, how did you, as a respected mainstream journalist, an award-winning journalist, become involved in such a controversial subject as the UFO phenomenon?
Well, we realized back in 1991 in the total solar eclipse in Mexico that the people went out to record the eclipse, and they recorded UFOs. As we analyzed the videos, we think that what we saw was real, absolutely real, and we received many videos from around the country. We also tried to relate this to something explainable, like a planet, like Venus, being there.
Mm-hmm.
But we found very different positions in some of the videos. Then we concluded that this was a real flap, exactly like the one we had July 22nd, 2009 in China. People went out to record the eclipse in China, and they recorded UFOs.
Hmm.
The same, very same phenomenon happened in China and in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And then, back in 1991, we realized that many people had video cameras now in their hands.
Right.
And we thought that with time, video will become a very important instrument to demystify this phenomenon, to make it real. And this has been happening. And since then, in Mexico, people went out to the streets and recorded what they saw. Not just Mexico City, but around the country.
Right.
We have many vigilantes in Mexico. We call them that way. I know vigilante in the United States.
Vigilante, yeah.
Different is the man who captures criminals.
Right.
No, here in Mexico, the people who watch the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many vigilantes or vigilantes in Mexico City and around the country who watch the sky every day.
Right.
Then they produce some of the videos that you saw in Laughlin. And thanks to them, we have now the chance to really know exactly what is happening. And that is why I thought that would be probably a good idea to take a serious look to this phenomenon.
Okay.
And I think I am okay. I am happy, even though my credibility has been affected by all the opposition that there is against this phenomenon. It doesn't matter what.
Yeah.
Scientists are so much against it.
Right.
As you remember, the Secretary of Defense gave me a very important video 6 years ago. With that video, we were able to prove that there were UFOs around the airplanes, especially sometimes military airplanes in Mexico, and the scientists in Mexico became very, very angry because they were not the ones who received the video, but they had given this video to a journalist. That was me. And that is why I said that my credibility has been affected, but for some, because for the most people in Mexico, the big majority of people in Mexico support my job, and they make very popular my show, which has been on the air for the last 6 years, and it's a very, very successful show.
Yes, yes, I know it is. It's been touted. Your show and your journalistic talents have been touted here in America. So we know you're a well-respected journalist, except it seems that in America, the journalists kind of shy away from, it's what we call the third rail. You touch it and you die. You know, UFOs are the third the third rail.
Yeah, well, you have to take the risk sometimes. I mean, if you want a big exclusive, sometimes you have to take the risk.
That's it. That's
it. And I think I like to be different sometimes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's paid off for you, because it seems like Mexico, the people in Mexico, and not only the public, but the government, you know, even if it's quietly, they accept the fact that UFOs are real. They don't know what, they can't say, oh, they're from planet Melmac or whatever, but they're real. It's a real phenomenon. Now, why is that? I mean, why are they real in Mexico and not in America? You know what I mean?
Why the UFOs are here? I don't know. Probably it is because we don't chase them with airplanes. They feel comfortable, or probably it's because of the magnetism of the mountains, or probably because of the old cultures in Mexico. I presented a very important photograph in Laughlin. This photograph where you can see a beam of light coming out from a pyramid.
Right.
We have tested that photograph with many different experts, and all of them said that the photo was authentic. And we also found even important witness, as I presented, some people from the television of Mexico who were there that day at that hour in Chichen Itza, and they also saw the picture just after or seconds after it was taken. And that gives a lot of credibility, and it's very unexplainable, as you saw it.
Right.
Then, probably that's the reason they are here. I don't really know, but it's we see in television, for example, in Colombia, people go out and check a UFO, and they have a video, and it's on the news. In Mexico, it's not in the news anymore. They say, oh, UFOs, okay, you know.
No big deal in Mexico.
A lot of time, you know, most of the time.
Right. But yet in America, they say, well, no, we're not going to put it on the air because, well, even though we've just seen it, even though we have video of it, they must not exist, right? So
yeah, well, it's because some people don't want to accept it. Some people want to deny it, and they think denying this is going to disappear. But they don't disappear. They are here, and they will continue to be here. And I think their presence is going to be closer and closer.
Right.
I can tell you, I just received a video from Milan in Italy, recorded this last Monday, and the video is just spectacular. The UFO is not more than 50 meters away from the camera. That's incredible.
Yes, it is.
There are many videos that have been taken in Mexico over the last couple of months. In Guadalajara, the 5th of December, we had a fleet of probably 500 spheres. And what is incredible is that we can see an airplane flying in the middle of them. Then it's something hasn't happened before. And I think it's going to be another very important video. And this is just some of the most recent stuff, you know. Then I think this is going to grow. I think we're going to see a lot of things happening this year, David.
Yeah. And you always have these photos and videos professionally analyzed, correct?
Yeah, always. We don't accept videos which are anonymous. Most of the hoaxes or frauds are anonymous. When people take the responsibility and they put their faces behind the evidence,
right,
most of the time is real. I'm not saying every time, but most of the time is real. We also go and check other witnesses. We check with the air control. We check in every way we can to know if the evidence is solid, you know.
Right.
And we try to do our best job. We know it's risky, and there are people who like to say that, oh, I fooled you, and and this is not real, and you thought it was real. That could happen, but it hasn't happened very often in Mexico. It just happened once to me, almost 10 years ago, that I thought a photograph was real and was not real.
Right.
But after that, I think the investigations we have done are very impeccable.
So the hoaxes are a very small percentage, huh?
In Mexico, it's, I see on the internet a lot of hoaxes. But I don't know why in Mexico, probably because it's not part of the culture here to create this kind of evidence to fool or to make someone look ridiculous,
right,
by fooling them, you know?
Right.
But I don't see many times that happening in Mexico. Very, very seldom. But I see a lot in internet, that's true.
Well, now, one source of photographs that you know is not hoaxed is NASA footage. And you showed a lot of NASA footage there at the convention in Laughlin. I know we're at a disadvantage here on the radio. We can't show that footage, but tell us about some of these anomalous things.
Yeah, we found out that NASA in a mission presents the whole, broadcast the whole mission. You know, you can see everything there.
Right.
They never repeat something that is suspicious. Then what we did was to record the full mission, probably 100 hours or 200 hours of video.
Oh, my.
And then select some of the moments where you can see something strange or different.
Right.
And that's what we have done. And thanks to that, probably we have the biggest files regarding UFOs in the space. But it's something that anybody could do if they had the time and the reason to do it, you know?
Right.
But it's something that can be done. And what we presented there was just the result of a lot of work, but it's the real evidence coming directly from NASA.
Directly from NASA. And I need to take just a moment to pause and remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the only station making waves, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, and we're speaking with Mr. Jaime Musan from Mexico City, Mexico. And we're talking about UFOs and NASA footage, and there's also the case of recent photographs about UFOs around the sun. Tell us about these.
Yes, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to cut the transmission. Yes. As you know, in January, the 18th of January, and then the 21st of January, the sonda stereo that are in both sides of the sun were able to get some images where you can see big spheres very close to the sun.
Right.
And some people calculate the size of those spheres. Probably they could be the size of the moon or probably even the size of the earth.
Huh.
Then they were very big. And what were they doing there? The explanation that NASA gave was not sufficient, was not enough. They said was a mistake in the functions. It was a malfunction from the sondas. And if you see them, you can clearly see shadow. You can see reflection. You can clearly see it's a solid object. And what it means, I don't know. You know, just after that, we have a very strange explosion in the sun.
Oh, really?
This was presented by the Space Weather website. But just for a couple of hours, they took it away just after they presented this very strange double explosion that was unexplainable, as they clearly said in their original report. And I don't know if that's also related to what we saw with this object, because some people say that they are using the sun as a dimensional door. We know there is a door between the sun and the earth, a dimensional door that opens and closes every 8 minutes, and it's around the equator. And we know that because on January the 20th, 2005, we had a big explosion from the sun, and some particles from the sun arrived to the earth in less than half an hour.
Mm.
And that's impossible because, as you know, nothing can travel faster than the speed of light.
Right.
And how this happened, how was possible that matter from the sun came to the air so fast? They couldn't explain it until they found that this is this magnetic door that pulsates, and sometimes if the explosion is directly to the earth and goes through this magnetic hole, the particles of the sun can arrive to the earth in just a few minutes.
Hmm.
And that's why we learned that there is this magnetic door. And for that reason, some people believe that the sun is being used as a porthole, as a wormhole, if you like.
Right.
To come from very far distances, probably from different stars, directly to our sun. And probably that's what we saw in the images. They are really spectacular. And I can tell you, it hasn't happened again. And it's the only time that has happened in the last 3 or 4 years that these probes have been functioning there.
Okay, so this big explosion on the sun happened just this one time. But are they still seeing these UFOs around the sun?
No. As I said before, no. Just the 18th and the 21st of January so far. I mean, we are alert, and we are trying to see if we will see more. But if they were really UFOs and they were coming to our solar system, it means that we are going to have a lot of activity over the next few months. I mean, I'm just speculating, but it's a very good probability.
Wow, sounds like it. There's also a big flap of a UFO flap in Turkey recently, as well
as in many places, Turkey, China, Russia, even South America. We have enough. We have enough. I think over the next few months, we're going to see a lot of video from different places.
All right.
As a matter of fact, I have a summit the 19th, 20th, and 21st of March here in Mexico at the World Trade Center of Mexico. It's going to be a very spectacular event. Mm. If some people want to come from the U.S. to Mexico, you are welcome to come. We're going to present the most recent information, not just from Turkey, China, Russia, and we have invited many speakers from different countries. Then I hope that we will be able to produce new evidence
in
the next few weeks.
When is this then?
19th, 20th, and 21st of March.
Okay.
That's next week.
Okay. That's awful short amount of time. I don't even know if this will air in time, but I'm sure some of it will be on YouTube, won't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so people can go to YouTube and
I have a webpage in YouTube. Webpage is the YouTube /Tercer Milenio in Spanish.
Mm.
And you can check some of the videos and information, even those that we are speaking now, related to the sun, you can see them, and those related to the space are also there.
Mm,
even the very unnatural explosion that you cannot find anywhere else, it's in my channel in YouTube/Tercer Milenio.
Okay, I think that people also go to, if they don't speak Spanish, like moi.
Oh yeah, because the images are very graphic. They speak by themselves.
Yeah. And you can go to YouTube and put in a search for Jaime Maussan, JaimeMaussan, Jaime Maussan. And you see a lot of videos. There was also one that you showed at the Ed and Laughlin, fleets of UFOs or motherships big UFO and it. Two videos being taken, one on the side of the sun is shining on these UFOs, the other side is not shining on them, and they were taken simultaneously, and all these little spheres are shooting out of this thing, and it was amazing.
Oh yeah, very spectacular.
Yeah.
And it happened after an earthquake in Mexico City.
Or right after an earthquake.
Right after, a couple of hours. This was May 22nd, 2009.
Mm.
We had the earthquake around 3 o'clock in the morning, in the afternoon.
Mm.
And then we had these sightings in around 5 o'clock. Then they were taken in the north area of Mexico.
Mm.
One was in the area of Ciudad Satélite, and the other was probably, 5 kilometers in the other side, in the other direction to the south. And you see this UFO, whatever it is, releasing hundreds of spheres in both sides.
Hmm.
What is interesting is that you can see that the object is spinning very fast. and releasing these fears.
Right.
And then you have the other video taken against the sun, and then the object is black. In the first video, it's like a yellow, orange, and in the second video, it's black. Hmm. And the only explanation, because we have even counted the spheres being released in opposite sides, what is in one video to the right, in the other video is to the left. But it's the same number of spheres, the same. We can clearly see the same moment. Hmm. And the color of the object is very, very different.
Right.
The only explanation we have found is that the sun created this difference because it was in different positions.
Right, the sun was...
The video is very, very important because for the first time we are seeing now how these spheres are being released. We have videos with 100 spheres, 500, even 1,000, but we didn't know where they came from. Now we know that these are released by this, how you say, mothership or whatever.
Mothership.
And I think the... This video is a very good explanation of what is this.
Okay, was this a cigar-shaped object in the middle, the UFO?
Yeah, well, it was cigar-shaped, but little. I don't think it was very large, probably 5-10 meters. More than that. And that's what is incredible, because it releases hundreds of spheres.
Right.
And you can see also that it's spinning very, very fast. And then after releases the spheres, slow down, and you can see moving very, very slow. And then you can see also four of the spheres coming back and going and making circles about, around the, let's say, the mothership. Like, it is very clear that the movements are intelligent.
Right.
And that's also very, very exciting. Then at the end of the video, you can see how the spheres come back and they create what we call a fleet. That's a formation of the spheres in the sky.
Right.
And the whole video is very interesting and has a lot of information, David.
Yeah. Has anybody, any skeptical scientist tried to say that these were earthquake lights?
No, not yet. I haven't heard anyone.
Mm.
You know, when they cannot do anything, when the evidence is so, so strong, then they try to keep in silence. They don't say anything because they know they cannot prove or create doubts about this evidence. At the beginning, when we just had one video, they said, oh, this was created by a computer.
Mm.
It's all they said. Then when we presented the second video, they didn't say a word. Because both witnesses are very credible. Both agreed to be presented on camera.
Mm.
Both gave us their story. And then you can check the videos, and the videos are identical.
Right.
There is no way we can think that this is something that was hoaxed or created by any kind of computer, David.
Right. Now, while we're on the subject, August 6, 1997, the UFO over Mexico City, the video is very famous now, UFO over Mexico City, wobbling behind the buildings and what have you. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I investigated the whole the whole issue. They sent me this video. Fortunately, it was anonymous.
Wow.
Even though I think I found the man who recorded this.
Uh-huh.
And this is the story. At the beginning, he said it was real. Then when I said he worked for an American company, and he said that he didn't want to be on camera because he had used a video camera from the company, and that was prohibited, and he would lose his job.
Oh.
And I said, I'm sorry, then I need to present you because you recorded this, and it's the only way we can prove that this was real.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, oh, no, it's not real, I made it up.
Oh.
I made it up, and I said, okay. There are many, many witnesses. I am talking between 50 and 100 witnesses who claim that they saw the object. Then I said, do you think they are all lying? And then he said, oh, I don't know, but I made it. Okay, to prove that you made it, can you show me how? And he said, yes. And then he never came back again. He almost disappeared. Yeah. We never found him again. He never made any kind of demonstration.
Right.
And then I couldn't say this story because I would affect the witnesses who said that this was real. Nobody has proven that this was not real. Then MUFON in the United States said, and an analyst in MUFON said that in just one frame out of 400 frames, or I don't know how many, they had found something irregular. And because of that, they thought was a hoax. Well, I don't think it was enough evidence to prove that this was a hoax.
No.
Then I say that I don't know if the video was real or not. I think that the witnesses were telling me the truth because they were even kids who didn't have television, like a little kid, who said to me and described the UFO exactly as it was.
Mm-hmm. On the video.
And she didn't have a television. She didn't know. And she was so happy because now people would know that she was not crazy, that she had seen the object. And the father remembered when he came back from work and she was waiting for him to tell him that she saw a UFO. That was 1 month before my investigation. What can you say about that?
So you,
I think that the kid is saying the truth.
Yeah, so you...
And, I don't know if the sighting was real and then somebody made the sighting. I don't know. It's a mess. That case is not clear for me.
So
I don't consider this a hoax. I don't consider this real.
Right.
Probably someday we will know exactly the truth. Until now, I don't know it.
So you had the video and then you got the... But you didn't air it yet when the witnesses came forward who saw it firsthand.
I did air.
Okay.
I did air because I was trying to find it where it was recorded. Then after I aired the video, people called me and told me these towers are in this area. Then I went, this is Monday, the day after I aired, I went to the place, I went up, and I said, this is the exact place. And then one of my assistants was eating some tacos in the street. And he asked the man if somebody had seen something over the last few weeks in that place, a UFO.
Mm.
And he said, my daughter saw a UFO 3 or 4 weeks ago. And then I said, okay, let's go and see the daughter. And when he told me that, I went to see her and I asked her, and she described where was the UFO, what was the place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
And she was very happy to see me there because, and she said that on camera, people now would know that this was real.
Yeah.
That she was not imagining this. Then, for me, that testimony was the most important one because, and then I said, did you see this in television? And she said, I don't have television. I don't know. For me, it's very, very credible. And I think the man who is lying is the man who recorded.
Yeah.
I think he did record a UFO, and then he didn't want to take the responsibility for it. As you know, it happens many times. There are many good videos, real videos, and the people who record them don't want to be on camera.
No, no.
They don't want to be,
ridiculed.
Recognized for this, or related to this phenomenon.
Right, they're afraid they're going to be ridiculed.
And I think that's what happened, but I cannot say because he told me that he had made it, but he never demonstrated. I think it would have been fair from him if he made it to give me a demonstration. I would have presented the demonstration. And I am sorry, probably I would have affected the witnesses, but I had to do it.
Yes, you did.
But since he didn't present the demonstration, he disappeared. What can I say? Go and destroy the credibility of the witness without a proof?
Yeah, and isn't it the
case? And then I waited, and I've been waiting for years now. Now and then, I remember the people about this case, and I asked the man who recorded this, or made that, to come to television and explain the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't happened yet.
He hasn't come yet. He was afraid he'd lose his job because he used the company.
You don't know, David.
Yeah, I know.
It's a very difficult case.
Yeah?
Because you have very credible witnesses.
But
And then you are going to affect them. You are going to tell them liars.
Mm-hmm.
If you say this is a hoax and they didn't see what they saw. But at the same time, you don't have a proof to know that they are lying.
Right.
Then.
And your witnesses.
I don't really know, but I think. My journalistic sense that this man recorded the video and then he didn't want to take the responsibility.
Right, take the responsibility, right? And your witnesses have come from all over different areas of Mexico City.
They were poor, rich, they were young, old. We found hundreds.
Different
I
locations.
I find some today. Oh, I saw a UFO that you present in television.
Well, how does
what can I tell you, my friend?
How does?
And I don't think all that people are lying. You know,
no,
I think something really happened. And I didn't find the real reason why this man didn't want to be on camera.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
So how does the photo analyst who says one frame doesn't look right?
The photo,
how do they explain?
Back in 1997,
yeah,
there were not so many ways to produce a hoax.
Right.
Back in that years, that was difficult, my friend. Okay, that was very very difficult.
So how does he account?
There were not the necessary tools to do something like this.
Right.
So this also gives credibility to the video, no? And at the same time, there were no tools to analyze the videos. I mean, now we have enough tools to know almost for sure, when something is real or not. That's why every time it's going to be more and more important to do field research, field investigation, to find the witnesses, to put a name into the video. This is going to be the future. There is no way we are going to take seriously any video which doesn't have a name.
Right.
I mean, now it's very easy to many people to produce something in their homes with their computers. Things that look very, very credible.
Right, but it's
and that's why we have to be now very, very careful too.
And it's also possible to detect those hoaxes through the same type of software. Is that right? Using the
can you repeat your question?
Say again.
I didn't hear well the question.
Oh, it's possible to detect a hoax by using the same computer software, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, technology now is giving us a hard time, you know?
Right.
And now it's when the real UFO investigators are going to be believed. Are those the ones who are going to have credibility?
Although,
there is no way we can accept now any kind of evidence without investigation supporting me.
Yeah. I think the more investigators like yourself, the honest, respectable investigators that go forward and report these things and investigate these things, the more it's going to be accepted in mainstream media. I need to take...
Yeah, well, I hope more journalists in your country go forward and take the risk to present something that is real. There is no reason why I have found that this phenomenon, this is a real phenomenon. After so many years of investigation, I understand now that this is really happening, and that the journalists in many countries have the obligation, the duty, to present this, even though it's risky, even though it's polemic, they have to do it, because we have a compromise with the truth, and this is the truth.
All right.
I have to tell you that in May 27, 1999, when I was investigating a case in the mountains close to Tijuana and Mexicali in the border,
right,
we saw five other witnesses and myself. We saw two extraterrestrials, two creatures, at least looked very different to what I know. They were phosphorescent. They had very bright eyes. They were around 50 to 70 meters away from us.
Hmm.
But they were very, very clear. From that moment, I understood that this phenomenon is an absolutely real event.
What year was this?
1999. That's a little bit more than 10 years ago.
Yeah. Was the craft there as well?
No, we didn't see any craft. Yeah. This happened, I was investigating this case. Three little kids went to a picnic, and when they were coming back, they lost the track. They lost the guy, they lost the group, and they didn't know where to go. There were many serpents in the area. It's a very dangerous area. And they decided to climb a tree. They go to the top of the tree to spend the night there. After they couldn't create a fire, and they were very young. One of them was something like 22, and the other two were 14 and 12, something like that.
All right.
And then they were sleeping there. When they saw some UFOs in the top of their heads, 1, 2, 5, even more. And then they disappear. They, at 1 or 2 hours later, they saw lights coming from the mountain to the tree.
Mm.
And they thought they were going to be rescued now. When the lights came close, they were not human. They were surrounded by more than 100 extraterrestrials. That's what they said. And the extraterrestrials went to the tree. They went very close to them. And they spent the night there. They were not abducted. They never lost conscience. They never lost time until they left at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's an amazing case, my friend. An amazing case. And I was investigating the case when they called me 2 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping in my sleeping bag, and they said, Jaime, can you come out? I was in a tent. And I said, no, I'm very tired, and please come back, come out. And I said, no, and they insisted until I was a little bit mad, and I said, why do you need me now? I am really tired. And they said, look at that. I was very, very surprised, David. And that's what I saw. I can declare that with a lie detector test, you know?
Yeah.
It's absolutely real.
My goodness.
From that moment, I understood that I am in the right track.
Yeah.
Informing people and preventing people of what is going to happen soon.
Right. I'm going to have to take one short break just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone, and we're speaking with Jaime Musan from Mexico City, Mexico. And not only these alien beings, Jaime, but you also talked about the serpent in the sky. Tell us about that. I wish we had the video here.
Which one?
The serpent in the sky.
Oh, yeah, the serpents. There are many videos. We have more than 100 or 200 videos of these very strange creatures in the sky of Mexico. Mm.
Biological creatures?
So they are huge, different colors. They move very strangely. Mm. And we know, after we left Laughlin, I received a report from people who were there when they were traveling Arizona, and they saw, unfortunately, they didn't record, in the middle of the desert, something exactly like that. Hmm. I mean, they said it's exactly what you presented, it was a serpent in the sky. Hmm. This was also recorded in Guadalajara, in a different city, about a month ago here in Mexico. I have videos from Portugal, Great Britain, and the United States, where you can see these things that look like serpents. But in Mexico, especially in Mexico City, we have hundreds of them. Then probably this is related to the legend of Quetzalcoatl, you know, the flying serpent, the plumed serpent, the colorful serpent.
Right.
And if you remember, the prophecy said that Quetzalcoatl would come back to claim his kingdom.
Mm.
Probably that's what is happening right now, because it's a very strange thing. And I think that's what they saw hundreds of years ago. And that's why they developed this legend around Quetzalcoatl, or the flying serpent. And I think, I don't know if they are UFOs. I don't know if they look like living creatures.
So you think
probably they come from the space. We have some videos from NASA where you can see things that are similar. No, the explanation that NASA has given to that is they are so full that you cannot believe them.
Right.
But I think they come from the space. Probably they are not UFOs. Probably they are not really. Probably it's a different kind of life. I don't know.
You think they're
Yeah, the videos here in Mexico are really, really spectacular.
You think they're biological entities?
They move like, they behave like biological entities.
Right. And are you speaking of predictions of coming back? It reminds me that the Mayan civilization.
No, the prophecy says that the Quetzalcoatl, before the end of times, will come back to claim his kingdom. And if you remember 2012, and if you remember all the prophecies.
Right.
This is one more. And this is happening, and the proof is there.
Right.
We have checked, we have tried to reproduce this with balloons.
Right.
And I did it once. We built one serpent with balloons. It was probably 20 meters long.
Mm-hmm.
And then a second one, which was probably around 10, 12 meters long.
Mm-hmm.
And we released them both to see how they behave. They look similar at the beginning, but as the time passed and they became froze, they behave very differently. At the end, they broke in different parts.
Hmm.
And then I can tell you, this is not the same thing. Besides, the cost for me was $1,000 for both.
Oh, my.
No, and also to transport them, to move them from once, we moved them two blocks away.
Yeah.
I mean, they were built inside a house. We took them from there to the street,
right.
And we walked for two blocks to a park, and that was tough.
I'll
really
bet.
Difficult. So, just two blocks. When and these were very small compared to the ones that we have seen in the videos. The videos are three or four times longer than the ones I made.
Right, so this would
then, be... I don't think it's the same phenomenon either. And if someone is doing this just to fool us, it's spending a lot of money.
A lot of money, huh?
Well, yeah
but this reminds me that the Mayans predicted the star people, the masters of the stars, they call them, would come back and gave the date in 1991. And coincidentally or not, that was the date the eclipse happened in over Mexico. And that was the date all of these UFOs were seen, correct?
Yeah, Yeah, the full prophecy says, beware of the earth.
Beware of the earth?
The end of the Jaguar Nights. Hmm. The beginning of a new era that is going to be built over the ashes from the last, and it will be the time of the meeting with the Masters of the Stars.
Masters of the Stars. And that was the date that this all these UFOs were seen, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
In 1991, when this happened, and until now, and I mean, I don't know. I think it's a relation between these prophecies and this presence, and
right.
Even the pyramid with the beam of light. I don't know. It's something related to all of this.
Well, I have heard that the pyramids all over the world are. Energy sources that we're going to turn on maybe 2012 or whenever, built by extraterrestrials, energy sources that we're going to turn on. And I thought, what are you talking about, you know? And then I see this picture with this energy source coming out of that pyramid that you had, and I thought, maybe they're right, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I never wanted to relate the old cultures to the extraterrestrials. I never did. You know, not many people think that. I said, no, no way. And then I saw this picture, and then, I don't know. I mean, after watching this picture and knowing that it's true, what can you say when a beam of light, a big, huge beam of light, comes from the roof of the pyramid to the sky?
Was it seen?
I mean, not a line, a big thing, as you saw it, probably 8 to 10 meters in diameter. And the light is like a laser. You know, what can you say after that?
Was it seen
that
by
there is energy inside, that there is a reason for these pyramids, that they are probably, how you say, lamp lights, or we say in Mexico, faros. That are guiding the travelers in the sea.
Oh, guiding light. You know? Guiding light.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know, probably they are more than that, more than what we ever thought of the pyramid.
And I also noticed the Mayan symbols. Some of the Mayan symbols look exactly, if not similar, if not exactly, like some of the crop formations that are being seen all over the world. Do you think there might be a connection? Do you think that the Mayans were seeing the same type of crop circles thousands of years ago?
Very difficult to say.
Mm.
But it's very interesting.
You look at some of these crop circles.
I don't know who is using the symbols of who. Are the ETs using the symbols of the Mayas? Are the Mayas using the symbols of the ETs? Who knows?
It's very possible.
But, I think whatever it is, what matters, really matters, is that they are trying to communicate with us. They are giving us some signals that are very well known to us, and because they are, in the end, trying to communicate directly with us. That's what I think, David.
Yes. Very good. Yeah, but if you'll notice some of these crop formations, you look at some of these crop formations and you look at some of the ancient Mayan symbols, and you will see a very surprising similarity there. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely.
You never know.
No, we were able to decipher one of these formations from Wales. And the formation there speaks about eclipse and also the transit of Venus through the sun.
Okay.
And we found so much more information in this. But basically, it's these two events, what really matters to them in 2012. Mm. The eclipse just before December 21st, 2012, and the transit of Venus through the sun, the 6th of June, 2012.
Hmm.
I think these two events were very connected, and I think they are telling us this through this formation in England.
Hmm.
And also, for example, in the end of 2006, we saw a formation, which is Lamat, which is the sixth symbol of the Mayas.
Hmm.
to their horoscope. And this Lamat is the first day and the last day of the calendar of 5,125 years that is going to end in 2012. It means it's coincidental that the same symbol was the beginning and was the end. And to have this representation through a very large and beautiful formation in 2005, then I think there is a very clear communication there to try to tell us exactly that this is the beginning and this is the end.
Yes.
Or this is the end and this is the beginning.
Yeah.
Whatever it is really, really interesting.
Jaime Musan, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I'm afraid we're short on time. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Of course, of course.
Thanks again.
See you soon.
Bye-bye. And if our listeners have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. And this show, is, as well as all the forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. Click on the forum button on the homepage. We Are Not Alone is also archived at blackfaultradionetwork.com. as well as at my website, ufoimplications.com. That's ufoimplications.com. Please stay tuned to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, for the best in alternative programming. I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m., when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
WHFR Dearborn.
WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'll be here with you for the next 2 hours playing new and slightly used indie rock and pop here on One Chord to Another. Hope you've had a great week and are ready for some music. This week, I'm going to focus on a band that has a new record that came out today. I'm talking about The New Pornographers. As well as playing music off of their new record together, I'm also going to go back and get to some stuff off of their previous four albums. Starting things off today, I've got the first track on their new record together. This one is called Moves on the station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM.